Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good morning. It's Blog Talk Radio, Interpreters of the Oracles of God. Hope everybody's doing great today. I call this one Confidence, Enter the Holy Place. And I took that from Hebrews 10, 19, and 20, which says, therefore, brethren, since we have confidence to enter the holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which he inaugurated for us through the veil, that is his flesh. And so, of course, before we start, I want to thank IHOP Kansas for allowing me to play their music. Thank you, Lord, for blessing them and keeping them and making your face to shine upon them and giving them your peace, for giving them above and beyond what they could ever ask or even think or even imagine to fulfill they're part of your story, Lord, in Jesus' name. And, of course, you want to declare Numbers 10:9. When you go to war in your land against the adversary who attacks you, then sound an alarm with the trumpets, that you may be remembered before the Lord your God and be saved from every single one of your enemies. So let's just play the recording of the shofar. Prayer today, of course, is going to be the Word of God. And so, to pray according to Psalm 149, starting at verse 5. And kind of all throughout this one, I'm going to be doing some prayers using the scriptures that we're going to use today. Let the saints be joyful in glory, Lord. Let us sing aloud on our beds. Let the high praises of God be in our mouth and a two-edged sword in our hand, to execute vengeance on the nations and punishment on the peoples, to bind their kings with chains and their nobles with fetters of iron, to execute on them the judgment written. This honor, Lord, do we all have, and we do have that honor. And so, we want to do our part and cooperate with the King of Kings. And I know all of us want to do that. And so we have that legal, rightful authority, which is so amazing and so beautiful. And so I'm going to right away go into Young's literal translation, because we have to know, how do we walk in this? What is our part in this? And so we, of course, call on our King, King Jesus, who is the King of all kings. He's the victorious one, and he sends his angels. We have authority, and we have to be offensive. The Lord has given us everything we need to have victory, and he already conquered the enemy. And our job is supposed to be to occupy. And so how do we prepare our minds and our being, our bodies and our everything about us? How do we prepare for this? And so we're going to go into 2 Corinthians 10, because we have to make sure that our mind is operating according to the mind of Christ. And so it says this, for walking in the flesh. Now, I use the Young literal. I thought this was pretty awesome. For walking in the flesh. Not according to the flesh do we war, for the weapons of our warfare are not fleshly, but powerful to God for bringing down of strongholds. Now, these strongholds are in our minds. They're in other people's minds. Reasonings, bringing down and every high thing lifted up against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ, and being in in readiness to avenge every disobedience whenever your obedience may be fulfilled. And a lot of times, especially with each of us, many of our battles are in our minds. And so we have to renew our minds, of course, with the Word of God. And when we bring our thoughts captive to the obedience of Christ, it's His mind is the Word of God. And so we have His mind, and it's so beautiful. And we have to be dressed properly. And that is in Ephesians 6. You know, we have the blood of Jesus, and the blood of Jesus speaks. He disarmed all principalities and powers at the cross. And, of course, we have to rise up and occupy the spiritual ground He wants us to take. We can ask the Lord to bring the warring angels to guard us, and then we can be strong in Him and in His mighty strength. We have to be in Him. And what does that mean? That once we're born again, we are literally in Him and He's in us. And we have to completely surrender, not partially, but wholly surrender before Him. And so that is Ephesians 6 for the armor of God. And so let's go there. I actually put it somewhere, but I don't know where I put it here. So let's go into Ephesians 6, and we're going to read it because we have to have that armor on, because we can't do anything the Lord asks us to do will be in Him and in the power of His might. And anything He asks us to do is going to be with the mind of Christ. And so let's go to Ephesians 6, and we will start at verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle. I want you to remember that word wrestle. That's very important. Because wrestling is a face-to-face, person-to-person warfare. They're right next to you. They're wrestling with you. And that's how we wrestle. And our wrestling is not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all to stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. And of course, we know the sword of the Spirit is one of our most amazing weapons. And when we send the Word of God, the angels come for His Word, and they perform His Word. It's so beautiful. So we want to be His voice, speaking His Word, so that the angels can come and perform it. And so we're going to take a look. Well, first of all, how do we want to do this? Because we want our warfare to be directly from the throne of grace, don't we? And so when we soak before Him, and what I mean by that is sit before Him and worship, we can enter into that holy place, and where He'll give us His direction. He'll give us His strategies, and He intends for us to win. And so I want to take a look at some of His heavenly weapons, because God has an armory. He really does. He has an arsenal. And so when we call upon the Lord, He answers us. And I'm going to show you some of His weapons, that when we call upon Him, just like we talked about in Psalm 18, He releases those weapons on our behalf. He hears our prayers. And so let's go into Numbers 24, 8. God brings him out of Egypt. He is for him like the horn of the wild ox. He will devour the nations. Who are his adversaries and will crush their bones in pieces and shatter them with his arrows. And I don't know about you, but what we're seeing around the world today, I thank God that he'll release his weapons on our behalf. But if people don't know that, they won't understand that God is a man of war, that he has weapons of warfare for us, and he releases his arsenal on our behalf, just like he did for David in Psalm 18. He will do for us today. He is not a respecter of persons. I'm going to go into, I'm going to keep going. One more scripture, Deuteronomy 32:42. I will make my arrows drunk with blood, and my sword will devour flesh with the blood of the slain and the captives from the long-haired leaders of the enemy. Now they had, when they went through all those lands and God dispossessed those lands because of idolatry and witchcraft, the Lord took those nations out, and he will do the same for us and release his weapons for us when we cry out to him and we're loyal to him and we pledge our allegiance to him. And so we're going to go into 2 Samuel 22:15. He sent out arrows and scattered them, lightning, and routed them. Job 6:4. For the arrows of the Almighty are within me. Their poison my spirit drinks. The terrors of God are arrayed against me. Of course, that actually was not true, because Job did not have the right knowledge of God, because fear let down his hedges. And that is what opened the door to the enemy and what he spoke every day about his children. And so in that case, that wasn't true. It wasn't the arrows of the Almighty. And so in Psalm 7:13, it says, he has also prepared for himself deadly weapons. He makes his arrows fiery shafts. And in Psalm 18:14, he sent out his arrows and scattered them, and lightning flashes in abundance and routed them. Now, I don't know about you, but if there's enemies all around, I'm going to ask the Lord to send out his arrows and scatter them, and his lightning flashes in abundance. And I'm going to ask him to rout them. And I do thank him for that in Jesus' name. Psalm 45:5, your arrows are sharp. The peoples fall under you. Your arrows are in the heart of the king's enemies. And we can ask that when enemies come against us, because these are spiritual weapons. Of course, they affect the natural, because the spiritual affects the natural. Let's go into Psalm 57:4. My soul is among lions. I must lie among those who breathe forth fire. Even the sons of men, whose teeth are spears and arrows, and their tongue is a sharp sword. Because remember, what people speak, you know, they can be speaking curses. They can be speaking curses purposely, or they can be speaking them not purposely, because life and death is in the power of the tongue. And what people don't understand is they eat the fruit of their own words. And so as they're sending them out to people, they're literally going to return to them, because they eat the fruit of their words. And so we have to really, why does God say bless, bless, bless? Because he wants us to be blessed. He doesn't want us whining and complaining. Because think about, we started talking about it last week, Numbers 11, that's all they did was whine and complain. And God showed his power. Constantly he showed his power, but they were whiners and complainers. And they complained against, you know, Moses. They complained against God, and God was not happy with them. And so we don't want to be like that. Let's go in Psalm 58:7. Let them flow away like water that runs off when he aims his arrows. let them be a headless shaft. You know, there's arrows in his arsenal. In Psalm 76:3, there he broke the flaming arrows, the shield and the sword and the weapons of war. Selah. Now, there's arrows on the other side too, but they are not a match for the arrows of God. And so in Psalm 77:17, the clouds poured out water, the skies gave forth a sound, your arrows flashed here and there. In Psalm 120:4, he also has burning coals and sharp arrows. And it says, sharp arrows of the warrior with the burning coals of the broom tree. And Psalm 127:4 actually calls children arrows. I love that. Like arrows in the hand of a warrior, so are the children of one's youth. Psalm 144:6, flash forth lightning and scatter them. Send out your arrows and confuse them. And yes, Lord, we just stop right now and ask that at this time, Father in heaven, that you would, Lord, flash forth your lightning and scatter your enemies and send out your arrows and confuse them, Lord. And we ask that in Jesus' name. In Proverbs 26:18, it says, like a madman who throws firebrands, arrows, and death. Now, of course, that's on the other side because, again, the enemy of our souls has those weapons, but they are no match for God's weapons, just like when Moses and Aaron went before the Pharaoh and he had his rod, right? And for a little while there, the enemies of Moses and Aaron, Pharaoh and his sorcerers and magicians, they could up to a certain point do some of the stuff, but there came a point where Moses' rod that turned into a snake swallowed up the snake of the sorcerers and the magicians. And so God's authority way surpasses the authority of the enemy, to the point that there was actually a point when the judgments were being poured out against the gods and goddesses of Egypt. Up to a point, the magicians and the sorcerers and the occultists could do some of the same kind of things, but there came a point when they could not do it anymore. They could not copy what Moses did, and the magicians and the sorcerers were like, Pharaoh, you better knock it off, because this is the finger of God, and we can't go any further. We can't copy anymore, and we certainly can't undo what's being done here. And so that's going to be, I believe, I've talked about this before, according to the scriptures, I believe in Revelations 5 through 8 and on, that those, when the saints of God understand that, when they sing the new song and they're worshiping and they're sending the word, that the Lamb of God is going to release the judgments on the earth against wickedness. And so we have a part in all of this. And so we want to understand that we are here to cooperate with heaven to release things on the earth, not to destroy God's people, but to destroy the enemies of God, the enemies, our enemies, who try to destroy us. And so there's many around us, of course. Look around the world and see the attacks that are going on against Christians. And so let's go into Jeremiah 50:9. For behold, I am going to arouse and bring up against Babylon a horde of great nations from the land of the north, and they will draw up their battle lines against her. From there she will be taken captive. Their arrows will be like an expert warrior who does not return empty-handed. And we're going to go into verse 14. Draw up your battle lines against Babylon on every side. All you who bend the bow, shoot at her. Do not be sparing with your arrows, for she has sinned against the Lord. And, Babylon is actually the world system. You could compare it to that. And so that, of course, is going to happen again, too, where the Lord completely destroys the Babylon system, which is, of course, the world system. And then, of course, in Jeremiah 51:11, it says, sharpen the arrows, fill the quivers. The Lord has aroused the spirit of the king of the Medes because of his purpose is against Babylon to destroy it. For it is the vengeance of the Lord, vengeance for his temple. And so when people blaspheme God and blaspheme the things of God, God has a plan. He's not going to allow it forever. And we can, while we're on this earth, cooperate with him and his word to occupy and not allow evil in each of our spheres of life. We each have a garden. And, you know, if you think about a garden, it has weeds in it. And so we have to be a tender of the garden and make sure those weeds don't grow. Of course, that's on a bigger scale with Babylon and the world system. But we each have our part. And if we each do our part and we each are wholly, wholly surrender to God, he will come to our aid and help us. And so we're going to go into Ezekiel 5:16. When I send against them the deadly arrows of famine, which were for the destruction of those whom I will send to destroy you, then I will also intensify the famine upon you and break the staff of bread. And why did God send out those kind of arrows? Because the people were worshiping other gods. They were worshiping idols. They were destroying their children in the fire. They were giving them to the gods of Molech, and then, which would be today the spirit of abortion. It's the same spirit. They were doing evil. They were doing evil in the sight of God and man. They were destroying the most innocent of God's creation, and that is little babies. And so there are consequences when people do not follow the Lord and when they do evil. And so there have been archaeologists who have found these places where they have done that kind of worship and finding little babies in jars and in graves. And, the Lord, it's like a judge. You know, if say someone murders a little child, do you want to see justice? Yes, you do. I know you do. Well, it's the same thing. God is bringing justice on behalf of the blood of babies. Innocent blood. Innocent blood cries out to him, and he judges. And so we have to cry out for our nations who are in idolatry and who are doing vile acts to children. And we have to call upon the name of the Lord and come into agreement with him to see these kinds of wickedness taken down by the Lord himself. And so we're going to, let's see here, we're going to go into, Deuteronomy 32:9. Blessed are you, O Lord, who is like you, a people saved by the Lord, who is the shield of your help and the sword of your majesty. So your enemies will cringe before you, and you will tread upon their high places. Isn't that beautiful? Yes, Lord, and that is a prayer for us. Blessed are you, O Israel, and blessed are you, O people of God. Blessed are you, who is a people, who is like you, a people saved by the Lord. Who is the shield of your help and the sword of your majesty? So your enemies will cringe before you and you will tread upon their high places. And I love it in Judges 7:20, when the three companies blew the trumpets and broke the pitchers. They held the torches in their hands and the trumpets in their right hands for blowing, and cried, a sword of the Lord and for Gideon. And we can say the same thing, the sword of the Lord and for Shar. And you could put your name in there also. And so think about in Samuel 17:45, David said this to Goliath, you come to me with a sword, a spear, and a javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have taunted. And so we can say the same thing. It's the Lord of hosts. He is our defender. And so I want to stop a minute, because I kept the song Prepare the Way of the Lord, because we are preparing the way of the Lord. And so I read to you Psalm 49. We're supposed to be part of this preparation. And so I'm going to stop and play a little bit of the song, Prepare the Way of the Lord. I can't play the whole thing, but here we go. Okay, hold on one sec here. It's such a beautiful song. Having an issue though. There it goes. Okay.
I've called you Israel, a chosen people, like light is in you, my chosen people.
Until you shine.
Powerful, or is that powerful? It's the voice of the Word. It's the voice of the Lord, and we have a part in that. And so we're going to go in Psalm 7:11. God is a righteous judge, and a God who has indignation every day. Can you imagine Him looking down from His throne and seeing what He's seeing today? Because He's a righteous judge, and He's not going to go against His word. He's not going to, the blood is crying out to Him. It's crying out to Him. And so He is going to judge that. It's righteous judgment. Let's go into Psalm 7:12. If a man does not repent, he will sharpen his sword. He has bent his bow and made it ready. In Psalm 7:13, he has also prepared for himself deadly weapons. He makes his arrows fiery shafts. Behold, he travails with wickedness. This is Psalm 7:14. And he conceived mischief and brings forth falsehood. He has dug a pit and hollowed it, and has fallen into the hole which he made. His mischief will return upon his own head, and his violence will descend upon his own pate. So when people do this wickedness, it comes upon their own heads. They dig a pit and they're going to fall in it themselves, and they're going to fall in the hole which they made. And so, you know, what are the Ten Commandments really? Why are people so against having the Ten Commandments when those protect people? It's the Lord saying, you know, don't kill, don't steal, don't covet, don't commit adultery. I mean, this is the protection of people to people. You know, love the Lord your God with all your heart, your soul, your mind, and your strength. You know, if you do that, you're going to have His power to love your neighbor as yourself. I mean, it's amazing that they want to get rid of commandments that protect humanity. These are God's laws for the protection of one another. We're going to go into Psalm 144:6. Flash forth lightning and scatter them. We said that before. Send out your arrows and confuse them. Sharpen the arrows. Fill the quivers. The Lord has aroused the spirit of the Medes. Why am I telling you about all his weapons? Because when we cry out to him, he's the one that releases them on our behalf. He is our man of war, but we have to know that about him. And if we don't know that about him, and we don't cry out to him for justice, and we don't cry out to him for protection, if we don't know that he will come to our aid, then we're going to be ignorant about the protection of God. In Psalm 18:14, he said, he sent out his arrows and scattered them in lightning flashes in abundance and routed them. In Psalm 78:48, he gave over their cattle also to the hailstones and their herds to the bolts of lightning. In Psalm 144:6, flash forth lightning and scatter them. Here it is again. Send out your arrows and confuse them. In Job 37:4, after it, a voice roars. He thunders with majestic voice, and he does not restrain the lightnings when his voice is heard. Job 38:35, can you send forth lightnings that they may go and say to you, here we are? Psalm 77:18, the sound of your thunder was in the whirlwind. The lightnings lit up the world. The earth trembled and shook. Psalm 97:4, his lightnings lit up the world. The earth saw it and trembled. Psalm 133:7, he causes the vapors to ascend from the ends of the earth, who makes lightnings for the rain, who brings forth the wind from his treasuries. Think about this. Think about Numbers 22:23, when God was constantly trying to reach Balaam. He was a soothsayer, and he actually could talk to the Lord on the heights, because God was really trying to reach out to him. And this man was a seer. He was meant to be a prophet. So he went the wrong way. And so we're going to go in Numbers 22:3. When the donkey saw the angel of the Lord standing in the way with his drawn sword in his hand, the donkey turned off from the way and went into the field. But Balaam struck the donkey to turn her back into the way. Then the Lord opened the eyes of Balaam, because Balaam was a seer, okay? And he saw the angel of the Lord standing in the way with his drawn sword in his hand, and he bowed all the way to the ground. In Deuteronomy 33:29, which we actually said this before, but we're going to see this is such a beautiful scripture. Blessed are you, O Israel, who is like you, a people saved by the Lord, who is the shield of your help and the sword of your majesty. So your enemies will cringe before you, and you will tread upon the high places. And so you see the angels with the swords, and you see that the Lord has a sword. He has a sword, and the angels have swords. They're the warrior angels. And so when we call upon the Lord, he will release these weapons on our behalf. So we have to have that confidence that when we are singing the new song that God asks us to sing, when we're going to get his strategies and we're going to get his plans and purposes, when we go into the holy place by the blood of Jesus, that he will give us these plans and purposes. And if we speak his word, the angels will come for those words, and they will perform them. And a perfect example of that is Daniel. We're not going to get into that today. But Daniel was fasting and praying for 3 weeks, and it shows the warfare that happened, because it took 3 weeks for the angel to get through, because he was fighting the power of the air over there, and it took him 3 weeks. And he said to Daniel, the first day you spoke your words, I came for them. But he's telling them there's warfare in the heavenlies, and he had a breakthrough. And so if we cooperate with the Lord and we keep speaking the word and we keep thanking him for the victory, we're going to see it, because we have to remember there is a warfare that goes on. And if we stand steadfast and we with our weapons of warfare, with the blood of Jesus, the name of Jesus, and the word of God, and praise the name of the Lord, we can't help but have the victory. And so it's Proverbs 1:27. It says, when your dread comes like a storm and your calamity comes like a whirlwind, when distress and anguish come upon you. Why did he's speaking, and he's talking to people who refuse to hear his voice. And when that distress comes upon them, it's like, oh, well, he tried to reach them, but they refused. In Proverbs 10:25, when the whirlwind passes, the wicked is no more, but the righteous has an everlasting foundation. And so when God brings his whirlwind to the enemy's camp, it's all over for them. And so that's one of the weapons that God has. In Isaiah 5:28, its arrows are sharp and all its bows are bent. The hooves of its horses seem like flint and its chariot wheels like a whirlwind. Talking more about, some are natural weapons, some are supernatural weapons. And so if it's in the spirit, of course, we can even see it in the natural sometimes with the chariots of fire. We could see Elijah when he was surrounded, the Lord sent angels and chariots of fire. And so that's another thing we can ask the Lord for. Thank you, Lord, for those chariots and angels of fire all around us to protect us, Lord God. In Isaiah 29:6, from the Lord of hosts, you will be punished with light, with thunder and earthquake and loud noise, with whirlwind and tempest and the flame of a consuming fire. And of course, that's in the spirit. Isaiah 66:15, for behold, the Lord will come in fire and his chariots like the whirlwind to render his anger and fury and his rebuke with flames of fire. The Lord is not kidding around when he brings justice. And so we're going to stop. We only have 2 minutes left, and we're going to continue on with weapons and how, what is our part in it next week. So thank you for joining me. I'm going to just finish it off with a little bit of You Are With Me from Missy Edwards. Thank you for joining me. We're going to keep on this. Thank you so much. Thank you.